Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me out loud the title of our sermon this morning? Where is God? Based on our gospel reading, especially this verse, Luke 24, verse 36. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said, "Peace be to you." I invite you to follow the sermon outline that's provided for you on your worship handout. Follow along the sermon outline as we consider our theme, Where is God? This morning, I have a confession to make. And the confession is this. I really enjoy our Tuesday morning men's breakfast and Bible study group. Every Tuesday morning at 7 a.m., a group of us men, 6, 8, 10 men get together. We take turn making breakfast week after week. We share God's word. We pray together. It's a wonderful way to start the morning. This Bible study group has become much more than just an excuse for study of scripture and eating breakfast. It's become a support group, a group of friendship, a group of mutual laughter. Now, this is not supposed to be a commercial, but hey, if you're a man, you're welcome every Tuesday morning at 7 a.m. I particularly remember a Tuesday morning when we had a really good and deep time of sharing and discussion. As we read various passages from Scripture, a number of us shared times in our lives, times of pain, times of loss, times of struggle and times of doubt, times when we ask the question, where is God? When things seem to be going awry and he doesn't seem to be too closely by. In our gospel reading today from Luke chapter 24, we find a number of Jesus' disciples who were gathered together. They are a men's group and they are having a very difficult time. These men are in pain. Their hearts are filled with fears and doubts. That Jesus, their loving master, their loving Lord, had been crucified. They were fearful they would be next. Surely their question was, where was God when you really need him? Listen now to a few verses from Luke chapter 24. And as they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." And he said to them, "Why are your hearts troubled? Why do doubts rise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet. It is I myself." And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, this is wonderful. He said to them, "Do you have anything to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it, and he ate it before them. Of all the things our Lord could have been doing, of all the places he could have been on that day of his resurrection, Jesus chose to go to be with some disciples who were fearful and who were wondering, where is God when we hurt? Where is God when we need him? Jesus answers these questions by going to the place where they were and by eating a meal of fish with them. We can just imagine as Jesus ate the cooked fish and licked his fingers. We can imagine these men just saying to one another, "My goodness sakes, it is the Lord. He is with us. He's eating this meal with us. He has not forsaken us." Now, just before the verses in today's text, we find a similar story. Two unnamed disciples, the Bible doesn't even tell us their names, were walking the 7-mile walk from Jerusalem to Emmaus. They were sad and hurting. Jesus, their master, was crucified. What were they going to do now? They felt alone and abandoned. And Luke 24 tells us this. And as they walked and talked together about all these things, Jesus himself drew near, catch this, and he walked along with them. Of all the things he could have been doing, of all the places he could have been on that day of his resurrection, Jesus chose to walk the 7-mile walk with his disciples on the road to Emmaus. As he opened to them the Old Testament scriptures and pointed out to them how all the words of the prophets and the Psalms pointed to him and they were fulfilled in his death and resurrection. Do you see any pattern here? God is with his people in their time of need. Listen carefully this morning. God is with you. With you in your time of need. Almighty God, and that's who Jesus is at all times, in all places, with his people wherever they are. Our Lord Jesus is right here in the sanctuary of Trinity Lutheran Church at 11:32 a.m. this morning. At the same time, he's with a group of Christians who were gathering together in Beijing, China. He is by the side of the woman in Halifax, Nova Scotia, who is dying in her hospital bed. At the same time, he's riding in the truck with the farmer in Saskatchewan, right next to that woman in Mexico giving birth to her third child. He is shoulder to shoulder with our women and men of the military wherever they serve all over the world. Jesus himself said this very clearly. In the last words he spoke to his precious disciples in Matthew 28, as he was ascending to heaven, Jesus said these words, "And I am with you always, even to the end of the age." What we're talking about today, and notice your sermon outline, it's a big word. What we're talking about today is what theologians call the doctrine of omnipresence. The truth that God is at all times, in all places. This is a doctrine of Holy Scripture given to us to give us comfort. This is a doctrine of Holy Scripture we don't talk a lot about. We're talking about it today. Today's message is a simple message. If you want this entire sermon in 5 seconds, here it is. Jesus loves you and is with you always. But a 5-second sermon wouldn't be any fun, will it, Herb? And I don't want you to get used to short sermons. So today, we're going to take a quick glance at a few passages in Holy Scripture that give us the comforting doctrine of the doctrine of God's omnipresence. Jeremiah chapter 23:24 says this. Listen to this precious word of God. The Lord says, "Can anyone hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him? Do I not fill the heavens and the earth?" This passage reminds me of a famous quote from 1936. And a fight between the American boxer Joe Louis and the German champion Max Schmeling, when Louis said to Schmeling, "You can run, but you cannot hide." But in a positive sense, God tells us in this Jeremiah passage that he fills the heavens and he fills the earth. He is everywhere. He is with you when you need him, and even when you try to hide from him. Even when we try to hide from him in our hurts and our fears, our loving God is still with us. Our loving God is still searching after us. My friends, he loves you too much to let you hide from him. He comes looking for you. You might recall that he did the same thing for our first parents, Adam and Eve. As recorded in Genesis chapter 3, right after our first parents, Adam and Eve, sinned and rebelled against God, what did they do? They ran and they tried to hide from him behind bushes. And what does Scripture say he does? Our loving God came to them. He knew what they had done. He knew where they were hiding. He even knew the answer to this question. But in his love, he asked them anyhow. He said to them, "Where are you?" He asked them because he wanted them to know they could run, but they could not hide from his love and from his forgiveness. The psalmist expresses this same truth in Psalm 139. Listen to what he says. "Where can I flee from your spirit, O Lord? Where can I go from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, O Lord, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, O Lord, you are there." And after King Solomon finished building the temple in Jerusalem, listen to what Solomon said in 1 Kings chapter 8. "But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you, O Lord, how much less this temple that I have built." Yes, our Lord is in this holy place this morning. Yes, our Lord is truly present with us in the body and blood of Holy Communion. Yes, our Lord is with us in the waters of holy baptism. Yes, our Lord is with us as his word is proclaimed in its truth. But please listen to this next sentence I'm going to say. He is at the same time with that loved one of yours who is far from here, and perhaps even more importantly, far from their Lord in their heart. Almighty God is with them, and he loves them, and he has not given up on them. Don't you give up on them either. This beautiful doctrine of God's omnipresence, of his being with us, is wonderfully summarized in just one Hebrew word. It's a title that was given to our Lord Jesus, Emmanuel. The Hebrew word literally means with us God. We would say Jesus is God with us. In chapter 1 of his gospel, Matthew records the words of an angel speaking to Mary and Joseph. Listen to what it says. "Behold, the virgin will conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us." And in the New Testament book of Colossians, St. Paul adds even more to this wonderful doctrine. Listen to Paul's words. Colossians 1:15-17. "Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things consist." Now, this is pretty heady stuff. Let me speak to you as simply as I can what St. Paul is saying. St. Paul tells us that Jesus Christ is Almighty God, the second person of the Trinity. By him all things were created, and he reigns over all creation, and he, our Lord Jesus, is omnipresent. He is at all times, in all places, everywhere. My dear friends, now it's time for this message to get personal. The same Almighty God who fills the universe, who is at all times in all places, the same one who seeks out those who have sinned and are hurting and filled with fears, the same one who was upon the cross and was at the Easter tomb, this same God whose death and resurrection we have just celebrated, is with you in the quiet of your home, is next to you in your bed at night, is next to you when your loved one at that hospital bed, walks with you to that cemetery, is with you every morning when you rise, every night when you put your head on your pillow. We're talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. who upon the cross of Calvary died for your sins and he was buried. But he rose from that grave to conquer sin, to conquer death, to conquer the devil, and he ascended back to his Father. And wonder of wonders, as we say in the Creed, he not only is at the right hand of his Father, he is here and everywhere, especially with his children who need him. Today, we have spoken about some really heady, thick stuff. The doctrine of God's omnipresence is deeper and wider than we can cover in a short 20-minute sermon. But here's my prayer for you, my beloved, that the doctrine of God's omnipresence would move from here 18 inches from your head into your heart. That is, today we would not just understand this doctrine, but trust this precious passage of Scripture. And to help you take this truth home with you today, we'll end this sermon by reading out loud an old and famous poem. The poem tells us about the omnipresence of God. Presence of God in our lives, even when we don't recognize it. The poem is entitled Footprints. Would you read it together with me? One night I dreamed I was walking along the beach with the Lord. Many scenes from my life flashed across the sky. In each scene I noticed footprints in the sand. Sometimes there were two sets of footprints. Other times there was one set of footprints. This bothered me because I noticed that during the low periods of my life, when I was suffering from anguish, sorrow, or defeat, I could only see one set of footprints. So I said to the Lord, "You promised me, Lord, that if I followed you, you would walk with me always. But I noticed that during the most trying periods of my life, there have been only one set of prints in the sand. Why, when I have needed you most, you have not been there for me?" The Lord replied, "The times when you have seen only one set of footprints is when I carried you." Where is God when you need him? He is with you. He is carrying you. He shall never leave you nor forsake you. You have that promise written in blood. In the name of Jesus, amen.